Hello and welcome back. My name is Avi Heller and together we are learning Masechet Megillah. We are at the bottom of Daf Yud Aleph Amud Aleph, at the bottom of 11a. We are just five lines up from the bottom. And we were talking about how Ahasuerus, the Persian king, was a king over 127 provinces, as it says in the beginning of the Megillah. And we understood those 127 provinces to be as if he was the king of the whole world. And that is the context of our discussion now, towards the end of the line, five lines up from the bottom. Tanu Rabbanan, our rabbis taught, Shlosha, there were three, that is three kings, Malchu Bakipa, who ruled Bekipa. Now, Rashi says about Bekipa is that it refers to the Kipata Rakia. That is, if we are on the ground, the skies stretch above us like a dome. And because there's a horizon on all sides, it appears as if we're like in a snow globe, like there's a dome of sky over us. So the kippa would mean, just like a kippa covers one's head, that they were rulers of the entire landscape, that they were rulers of the entire world, in other words. And another possible interpretation, I did not see this anywhere, but I'm wondering if kippa could mean that they were rulers in force, that they had their will was exerted over the entire world, as in Kaf Alehen Har Kegigit, as we talk about in the giving of the Torah, that Hashem put the mountain on top of the Jewish people. So in one way, it covered them like a kippa, but in another way, it comes from the language of to force. So that these were kings who had such autocratic powers that everyone had to bend to their will. In any case, these are the three kings who the Gemara says ruled over the entire world. Elu hein, Achav, Ve'Achashverosh, Unevuchadnezzar. And some girsas reverse Nebuchadnezzar and Achashverosh to keep the chronology correct. Now it's going to go through each of them, and it's going to present a verse that shows that that they ruled over the entire world. And that's key to this, that we understand that they ruled over the entire verse, because Tanakh says that they did. Achav dichtiv, Achav, it's written in Melachim Aleph Yudchet Pasuk Yud. So that's 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 10. It says, Chai Hashem Elokecha. By my life, Hashem, your God, im yesh goy umamlacha, if there is a people or a kingdom, asher lo shalach adoni sham levakeshcha, that my master has not sent out a messenger to request that they find you. This is actually not said, this is said by a guy named Azariah, and he is, Achav is looking for Eliyahu, Elijah the prophet. He wants to kill him or to talk to him. And Eliyahu runs into Azariah and he says, by my life, the entire world is looking for you at the request of Achav. So, and then the continuation of the verse, if we go to Malachim Aleph, Perakit Chet Pasuk Yud, the continuation of the verse says, V'hishbiya et ha-mamlacha v'yat ha-goy ki lo yimtza'eka. And he has made the nation and the people swear. So what the Gemara is particularly interested in is that he had the power to make everyone else swear to do his will. So the Gemara asks, "V'ilo dehava malich alayhu, if he wasn't king over every nation, people, and nation in the world, hechi matzi mashbelu, how could he make them swear that they would go find Eliyahu for him?" So that's Achav. Two lines up from the bottom. Nebuchadnezzar dichtiv, v'haya ha-goy v'ha-mamlecha asher lo yitein et tzavaro be'ol melech bavel. This is actually a longer chapter. It's in Yirmiyahu chapter 27. And in Yirmiyahu chapter 27, it mentions, I don't know why they don't quote this verse, but an earlier verse in Yirmiyahu chapter 27, let's see if I can find it here, says, so commands Hashem, I made the earth. V'anochi v'ata, this is verse 6, v'ata anochi natati et kol ha'aratzot ha'ela b'yad Nebuchadnezzar melech bavel avdi. I have given over all of these lands into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylonia, who is my servant. And all the nations serve him. So I don't know why it doesn't quote any of those, but there's a few psukim later in Pasuk Chet, where it says, is there any nation that doesn't serve Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babel? And that's the one they quote. So Nebuchadnezzar was also king over the whole world. Achashverosh, last line, Had Amran, as we said before, that he was ruler over the 127 provinces that that count for the whole world. This is a little problematic on a number of for a number of reasons. One is, it's not clear that any of these kings were really so powerful, or that they ruled the whole world, or that they had the ability to do all of the things that we say they wanted to do. In fact, Tosfot in Baba Basra, Daf Kufchet, raises the possibility that Ahav was not such a powerful ruler. And of the three of them, by the way, he's the only Jewish ruler. And not only that, but as we'll see in a moment, there are a lot of other potential candidates for such powerful rulers. The Gemara is going to discuss a number of them. Tosfot here on the page mentions Alexander the Great, and he excludes him only because Alexander the Great's tenure happened after the close of Tanakh. And we're only interested here in rulers about which there are psukim in Tanakh. And in any case, the Gemara is now going to discuss the topic as we turn the page to Yud Aleph Amud Bet. What we see on top, in parentheses, is something that says Shiman Siman Shazdach. A siman is a mnemonic. It's a way of being able to memorize the Gemara, so that you, if you can memorize the order of the way the Gemara flows, it's easier to cue yourself to remember it. So Shazdach is just a mnemonic, and it stands for Shlomo, that's the Shin, Sancheirev, that's the Samech, Daryavesh, that's the Dalid, and Koresh, that's the Chaf. So these are the four kings that the Gemara is now going to discuss. Why weren't these four kings included in the list of kings who ruled over the whole world? So if you remember Shazdach, you can remember the order of the four kings. So the Gemara asks, Vituleka, are these the only ones? Achav, Nebuchadnezzar, and Achashverosh are the only ones. There are no more. Vitu means and more. Leka, there are not. V'ha Ika, and do we not have, Ika is the same as Yesh in Hebrew, do we not have Shlomo? What about King Solomon? He was a very powerful ruler. So the Gemara answers, Lo Salik Malchute, he never went out, or he never completed his kingship. And that's what Rashi says. And Rashi points us to Masechet Gittin, Daf Samachet Amud Bet, to say that that Shlomo never finished his kingship. And this is truly one of the craziest stories that I've ever seen in the Gemara. It's a long story about how Shlomo was secretly overthrown by a Manchurian candidate. The king of the demons overthrew Shlomo and impersonated him for a period of time, a number of years, and Shlomo was outcast and had to make his way back as a beggar from door to door until he was able to come back to Jerusalem. So because he never completed his kingship, but he was overthrown by the king of the demons, so he doesn't count. So the Gemara asks a question about this. Hanicha lamanda amar melech vehedyo. This makes sense according to the opinion. There's a machlokas between Rav and Shmuel there in Gittin that says that Shlomo was king, and then when he was overthrown by the demon, he became a hedyot. He became a regular person, and he never became king again, even though he came back and got rid of the demon. He eventually revealed him and cast him out. But he never became king again. This is problematic on the timeline. The Tosfot there talks about it because Shlomo had to rule for 40 years and the chronology doesn't work out. But that's one opinion, that his kingship was truncated, and therefore, since he never finished his kingship the way it was supposed to be, he's not included in this list. Ella, however, I'm on the third line, Lemanda Amar. That's the abbreviation. The abbreviation there is Lemanda Amar, according to the one who says, Melech vehedyot umelech. He was a king, then he was overthrown by the demon, and he became a hedyot, a regular guy. And then he came back and cast out the demon and became king again. So he returned to his kingship. My Ika lememar, what is there to say? So even though there was a brief interruption in his kingdom, he came back and ruled again. So he should be counted in this list. So the Gemara accepts this question and answers differently. Shlomo milta achriti hava be. Shlomo was a different matter altogether. He had a different issue. Shemalach al ha'elyonim ve'al ha'tachtonim. Shlomo was actually better than these other kings because he ruled not only over the earth, that's the tachtonim, the lower realms, but also al ha'elyonim, on the higher realms, on the spiritual realms. Shenemar, as it says in Divrei Hayamim Aleph, chapter 29, Vayeshev Shlomo al kisei Hashem, that Shlomo sat on the throne of God. So it sounds almost like he was a more powerful ruler than these regular earthly rulers. Now, two things we'll say about this. One is, in Gittin, Chachma Shlomo mentions that you could argue that this answers the question, because when he became the king a second time, he never really became the king over the upper realms, meaning he was king over the upper and lower realms, then he was cast out by the demon, and when he came back, he only became king over the lower realms. That's how he answers the question. In Gittin, it learns it a different way. It says there in the Psukim that he had Shidim Vishidot, which could be carriages or wagons, but is understood to mean male and female demons. In other words, Shlomo was a king over the demon, the demonic realm. Of course, that obviously got him into trouble eventually. But for a while, he was in control of the demons as well. But not to say that he ever really was in control of the angels or any of the celestial minions that belong to Hashem. That would not be appropriate for a human ruler to be in charge of them. Okay, so that's Shlomo. So two possible answers for Shlomo. One is that because his reign was punctuated, it doesn't count. And the second, that since he ruled over both the earthly and supernal realms, that he is in a different category. V'ha'ava Sancheirev. What about Sancheirev? Sancheirev was the king who came before Nebuchadnezzar, and he exiled the northern kingdom of Israel and besieged the city of Jerusalem, but did not conquer it. So this is what the pasuk says in Yeshayahu chapter 36, Lamed Vav. Dichtiv, mi b'chol Elohei ha'aratzot ha'ele, asher hitzilu et aratzam miyadi. Who among all these lands could save their land from me? Meaning, I'm more powerful than anybody here. That's the verse. So the Gemara answers very easily. Ha ika Yerushalayim delo kavsha. Sancheirev besieged Jerusalem, and he said that he tried to capture Jerusalem, but he never did capture Jerusalem. And if he didn't capture Jerusalem, he doesn't count in that list. V'ha ika Daryavesh. What about Darius, who was the king immediately before Achashverosh? Dichtiv Daryavesh, as it says in Daniel chapter 6, verse 26, pasuk chavav. Daryavesh Malka Ketav L'chol Amamaya. Darius was the king over all of the people, Umaya, all of the nations, Vilishnaya, and all of the languages. Didayarin B'chol Ara, that were of all the people that were living in the whole earth. Shlom Chon Yazge, and his kingship was great. So the Gemara answers, well, ha ika sheva delo malach alayu. It's true that Darius was quite powerful, but he only ruled over 120 provinces, not the 127 provinces of Achashverosh. As it says, shvar kadam Daryavesh, vehekim almal, Shvar means like beautiful. It was beautifully laid out or nicely laid out before Daryavesh. V'hekim al-Malchuta, and he established in his kingship, la'chashdar penaya mea ve'esrin. He had 120 satrapies, but he didn't have 127, so that doesn't really count. He was, seven short. You can also see this in Daniel chapter 6, verse 2. It says clearly that he had 120. V'ha'ika Koresh. Finally, what about Cyrus, who was a very powerful king? Cyrus, who established the Persian throne. Dichtiv, as is written, Ko'amar Koresh Melech Pras. So said Cyrus, the king of Persia. Kol mamlechot ha'aretz natan li Hashem. Hashem has given me all of the kingship over the whole world. And then he goes on to make the Cyrus proclamation, which he says, anybody who wants to go back to Jerusalem and rebuild the temple, let them go up. So it sounds like he was a pretty powerful king too. So the Gemara answers, Hatam ishtabuche hava Dekamishtabeach benafshei. He says that doesn't count because in the Cyrus proclamation he was speaking about himself, meaning he was praising himself with his own ego. That's what it means, mishtabeach benafshei. He was praising himself. And it's not like the Tanakh or someone else was praising him. So if the Tanakh said he was such a powerful ruler, that would be fine. But if he's praising himself, it doesn't count. I mean, Lemaisa, the guy was still a very powerful ruler, and it's a little hard to wonder why he would not be as powerful, for instance, as Ahasuerus. But we do not have a verse in Tanakh that says so, so he's not included in the list. That's all we'll do today. We'll continue on with our elucidation of the Megillah in the next recording. Have a wonderful day.